gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Welcome to the Life in Tech podcast with Jay and Saad, where every week they will be sharing their experiences, insights, and opinions about working in the technology industry.
Simply the best.
Welcome back to the Life in Tech podcast with Jay and Saad. And in this episode, we're going to do something a bit different, Jay. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a little roundup of the year. We're also going to do or give our predictions, our tech predictions for 2023. And we're going to look at tech quite broadly. So Jay's going to give us some insights on some design predictions that he thinks are going to come to the surface next year. I'm going to give some insights regarding the front end engineering space and general web engineering space, and then we can also have a discussion about some of the wider topics like AI, I think is going to be quite prominent next year, and more things around digital connectivity in general, security, payment solutions, which is going to be quite interesting as you're seeing a lot of these startups coming to the surface. So Jay, what do you think is going to be really hot and booming next year for the design space?
I thought you were going straight into it, man. You're like, we're going to cover this, we're going to cover that, and then you started listing things off, so I just like it's fit to just like continue.
I just tried to give a bit of an introduction, you know,
and just dive straight into it. I think there's a lot to kind of come from like the tech space in 2023 in general. I'm going to talk more broadly, like from a kind of tech perspective, and some might be kind of more kind of specific to industry. Ultimately, like for me and kind of where I see things going, I think a big thing is going to be around kind of utilizing kind of machine learning for personalization, especially when it comes to like kind of e-commerce, like funnels or anywhere that you have like an account associated with it. Anything where you're inputting like personal information or you have the ability to set personal parameters, it just naturally makes sense where tech is at the moment with AI and ML for companies to leverage that to kind of provide a better service for their customers. Like for me, logically, it just makes sense. Like mm-hmm. any business out there mm-hmm. that requires a transaction to occur between them and the customer, mm-hmm. which is initiated by the customer, you want them to come to that decision as quickly as possible. And like, how do you do that? You learn what their preferences are, you learn about their searching behaviors, you learn about what they input, and you learn from what they input and what others like them input and look for, and you make suggestions, recommendations based on that criteria. And this is something that's been spoken about for a while, and I haven't seen many companies and kind of funnels actually kind of adopt it, but I think now's the tipping point where you're going to start to see more and more companies invest in it. That's my perspective. Is like, I think personally the biggest thing going to kind of emerge from the tech space. But what do you see the biggest thing from your side?
So I'm off the bat, I'm interested in keeping my eyes open on two companies, especially around the research of AI and machine learning, and that's DeepMind. I'm really interested to see what they're going to do next year. Mm-hmm. And also, of course, OpenAI. So I want to see what type of research they're going to come out with next year. I think that's going to be very interesting if you're interested in that space and you're a tech head in general. Mm-hmm. But I think what we're going to see a lot of in the market and in the tech industry amongst services and, you know, just customer driven products is, I think, more payment solutions are going to come, because we're seeing a lot of these like Tabby, and there's like in this region there's like three or four those type of solutions.
Oh, no.
So I think a lot of different payment services are going to emerge, just easier ways of purchasing and e-commerce and stuff like that. I think that's going to become more rapid. Mm. I also think after speaking to Jaydeep from Phoenix, I think the e-mobility transportation space is going to start doing some more stuff. So that's going to be interesting as well to see. But I just think generally speaking, I think the startup space is going to be quite rapid, because I feel like now, post-pandemic, people are trying to move ahead again. And the innovators and the creatives, they're trying to push forth again and try to build startups and stuff. So I think that's going to be interesting to see what type of startups emerge.
But especially with what you've spoken about around like tech layoffs and stuff, a ton of highly competent people that are available in the market.
Yeah.
Some of which have been paid rather handsomely.
Yeah.
And they've got the reserves to actually turn an idea into kind of something tangible. The startup space in 2023 could really take off because of that. Because there are a lot of creative people with the expertise, inside experience at these big, admirable kind of businesses and organizations. Yeah. I'm interested to see what they're going to do, how they're going to kind of turn this, I suppose, disaster into an opportunity.
Yeah, because I feel like also because of these massive layoffs that have happened, a lot of people, especially in the tech industry, might have lost faith in trying to, you know, solidify a position at one of these giants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I feel like maybe they will try to innovate and do something to combat that loss of faith. So it's interesting. Like, that's what I'm saying, man. Being optimistic and being positive about these situations is imperative because no doubt there's going to be a lot of good that comes out of it, right? Yeah, a lot of stuff that has happened this year and the previous years has sucked a lot. But look at also all the positive things that have come from it. You know, during the pandemic, a lot of people don't know that a lot of people emerged into the tech industry because they were stuck indoors and they just started learning new skills. You know, so there's a lot of positives, and yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens next year. But I feel like AI, machine learning is going to be at the forefront, no doubt. But looking into the areas that we work in specifically, you know, the product space, design space, web engineering, front end engineering, like talking about product in general, what do you think are going to be some of the trends, or what do you think are going to be some of the, you know, the things at the forefront that are going to be?
There's two things that stick out to me. And some people might see them as kind of contradictory to each other. But I see them as kind of one of the same, or kind of one enhancing the other. So kind of those two things, when it comes to user experience, kind of beyond personalization, AI and kind of ML. For me, it's kind of micro interactions. So I see things in terms of visual cues signaling customers or users into kind of a particular direction, or allowing them to feel a particular emotion about a particular service or product or whatever is they're reading or engaging with, and just using micro interactions to kind of enhance the overall kind of use experience to kind of evoke some sort of kind of emotion from the people using the product. And the next thing outside of micro interactions is, I think the term is called kind of neo-brutalism, which is basically function over form.
Okay. Right?
So it's literally stripping things down. It's not like fancy aesthetics and, you know, kind of glorious like visual design where you've got tons of different kind of gradients and kind of different kind of forms and illustrations. It's not like that. It's stripping things down to kind of its bare bone in a way that can still be kind of creative and can still have a nice aesthetic, but the aesthetic doesn't take away from the function. So a good example of this is Notion, right? Notion, if you actually look at Notion for what it is, right, it's extremely basic in terms of,
but the functionality is insane.
The functionality is crazy. It actually looks really good. They utilize the kind of basic kind of components and type and space. They've got a very solid like standards in place.
What I like about Notion specifically though is that it's very engineering driven. Like, it's very engineering driven. Like, the terminologies are there. It's very natural as well, because you'll be like, I wonder if, what happened if I press this. Like, surely I'll get more options. You press the slash key and it's just like, what do you want to do? Text, page, you know, it's like very natural, very driven by that engineering mindset and design mindset. And it's just so good. And you could actually use it as a CMS as well.
Yeah, it's insane.
You can hit the APIs and use it as a CMS.
It's great, man.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
And, like, I think they've got like, and through applying like brutalism, and I think that even they've got some micro interactions in there, but through kind of applying that, like they've got like a $10 billion valuation now. So it goes to show that you don't have to kind of over engineer the design, but you can over engineer the experience to kind of great effect. And I think that's what they've done. They found that kind of great balance. And that's what I mean, like, as a trend in kind of UX for next year. Like, I think brutalism, just kind of being very kind of strong in terms of like what do we need and what we don't in the interface, and kind of sticking to that and sticking to what's going to add value to our customer and what isn't, and then using micro interactions and interaction design to add a layer of emotion on top of that. I think the two coming together is going to have a substantial effect.
That's interesting. First time I've heard that term. What was it? Neo-brutalism.
Yeah.
Neo-brutalism.
Look it up, people. people, look it up. Pre-citizen's been around for a while. Like it stems from like architecture.
Sounds like just, you know, it's very gory.
It's like literally like bare bones, like very rustic, that kind
of stuff.
That's
interesting.
It got brought into the design space, I'd like to call it out, about 5 years ago, 6 years ago. But now I think it's going to kind of come back where it's a bit of a mix between brutalist and adding that kind of micro interaction.
Here's a question. Do you think Figma is going to be still the, you know, the main used design tool?
I think so.
Do you think it's going to be around for a long time?
I think if Adobe maintain their stance where they're going to allow autonomy for Figma, then yes. I think, to be honest with you, if Adobe invest in kind of Figma getting the kind of tools and people that they need, and I mean like really need, not just like scaling for sake of it, then they'll be able to kind of meet the demands of their user base much faster than they have done in the past. And I think that will kind of keep them more relevant and ahead of the competition that's out there.
Interesting. I think the presence of the design engineer is also going to be more seen, you know, because even front-end engineering now is like becoming more, you know, merged with like inclusive design and accessibility and stuff like that, more on the technical side of things. And I feel like the languages between the two and the terminologies between the two, like design and front end, is kind of now becoming much more linear and we're speaking the same languages, you know. So I think that would be quite interesting to watch also. But from the front end side of things, like the technical side of things, I think we're going to see a massive increase in the focus around performance, like what Next.js have, or Vercel, the makers of Next.js, what they have done this year alone is insane. Just the enhancements of performance and the way that we think about the web and building the web, and just as engineers, the way that we're just moving away from the non-traditional ways of doing things and is focusing more on performance and accessibility and inclusive design and inclusive web engineering. And that's going to be very interesting. I think React is going to do some amazing things. We saw React 18 come out this year, which has, you know, released some big features like React Suspense, if you're a front-end engineer. I think we're going to see a lot around design systems, more of a use of things like Material UI and Frame of Motion and these various libraries and tools to help with those interactions and building out the UIs. I think we're going to see much more of those, many updates. But there's one interesting space for me, which I explored recently because I was just working on picking up some new features of CSS. And CSS now is insane. It's so modern and you can actually do like pragmatic stuff in CSS now. It's like insane. You've got like the calc function, you've got like the clamp function, and you can actually do mathematical evaluations and stuff. Like it's insane. And I think CSS is going to just be at the forefront of growth, because you might find yourself in a role where you don't have to really write too much CSS on a daily basis because you've got quite a mature library and quite a mature code base that you just reuse a lot of stuff. Yeah, I think it's going to be at the forefront for sure. I think for front end, we're going to see more, of course, you're going to see like evolutions of JavaScript, and you're going to see JavaScript doing some much more amazing stuff, but also the releases of tools and frameworks. This year alone, so many tools, you know, developer tools and frameworks and libraries and stuff that emerged. I think that's going to continue. But I think the space to look out for is the type of things that are going to emerge around a developer's experience. What are the tools and the apps and the various methodologies that are going to come out that are going to encourage and help with the developer experience in general? I think that's going to be very interesting. And I feel like if you are in front-end engineering, you want to level up, I don't even think that full stack. Before it was like, okay, what do I do after front-end? Let me go into full stack. That was like the natural. I don't think that's a thing anymore. I think now it's about, I'm a front-end, but how can I be a better front-end? And because there's so many things that have emerged, just to architect a front-end project is insane. Which framework do I use? Okay, I've got 10 options. Which one's faster? Which one's better for performance? Which one's better for accessibility? Oh, this one's a static site generator. This one, you know, allows me to do server-side components. It's insane, bro. It's insane. It's like complete influx of psychological well-being, you know? It's like you just have to sit there and really architect this project. And then you get to the CSS. It's like, do I want to use a library? Do I want to do a custom? What library do I want to use? You know, is it for mobile? Is it not for... It should be for mobile. I should always do mobile first. But
That shouldn't even be a trend.
But that's the thing. Like now, I think for front end, you don't have to just go down the full stack path if you want to go beyond front end. I think you can remain in front end, but then just become better. Mm. So yeah, the developer experience, I think it's going to be very, very important. And I think it's going to be something that we're going to see a lot of enhancements around. I also think a lot of companies and businesses are going to also increase in their digital investment. And what I mean by that is by allowing their teams or building new teams around enhancing their digital space. The reason why I say that is because I think we're going to see a lot of companies moving more into an engineering type culture. And I think that has exposed itself through the pandemic, where a lot of businesses were forced to go into digital and quickly need to revamp their website to make it better and their web applications and stuff. And I feel like the engineering culture now is not just within the tech industry. I feel like it's going to span outside. And I feel like more non-techie companies are going to be looking into going into digital and then, okay, we want to go into digital, then we're going to need an engineer, we're going to need a product person, we're going to need designer, we're going to need this, we're going to need that. And I feel like people are going to start adopting this engineering mindset and product culture, even if they didn't traditionally have that. So that's really interesting to see. So that's what I'm saying about like having this optimistic, positive mindset of, okay, yeah, the pandemic sucked. But if you're someone who appreciates the tech industry and appreciates the product space or the engineering space, there's so many things that have emerged. Just more people to speak to.
But there's a ton of opportunity.
Opportunity and just like insane amounts of knowledge to pick up and just people to speak to and stuff. So I think it's going to be very interesting. I think crypto is going to continue to, I think it's going to have a comeback.
I think it's going to continue to confuse people.
Yeah.
But I think there is a potential for a comeback. Just looking at everything at the moment, it's like Bitcoin is like just under £14,000, which
that's insane.
It's insane.
What was it before, like 60?
Yeah, almost.
Something like that.
It was nuts. Ethereum is £1,000. These prices haven't been seen in such a long time. And yeah. I think if trust builds back up in these spaces, if you get in now, then I think you'll kind of reap some rewards. I think, yeah, like crypto and blockchain technology, I think NFTs are going to continue as a trend. So like NFTs, I think people are starting to kind of use them in the right way. By the right way, for me, it's like contractual kind of agreements where there's some sort of kind of benefit. So you could use it for insurance contracts, mortgage contracts, any sort of contract could be an NFT. That's first and foremost. Where I'm predicting it to kind of emerge most rapidly in the next year or so is around kind of membership programs, specifically around like loyalty and community.
Interesting.
Where kind of people will purchase an NFT, which will then unlock access to various different things.
Interesting.
To kind of form a community or kind of be part of a club. So that's a trend that I think we're going to start to see kind of a lot of companies, big, small, old and new, starting to kind of adopt over the course of the next kind of 12 months. Another area that I see us within the tech world utilizing and kind of doing more of is around kind of verification, right? So we've seen like over the last like 4 years or more, like the amount of kind of abuse that is kind of happening kind of online, what impact that's having on kind of people's mental health, what impact that's having on their kind of behavior and kind of how they see themselves and that kind of stuff. The amount of trolls that are out there, I think this is probably kind of big bet for me because I'm not sure the scale of which companies will adopt this, but I think it will just take one or two to take this seriously. But having some sort of like upload ID to join these social networks or forcing people who are using these social networks, especially the older ones, to upload a form of ID in order to use it, I think that'll be a game changer.
Yeah.
I think that'll protect a lot of people. It'll make a lot of people feel safe. And it'll make a lot of parents trust the platform more. Because then once you've got the ID attached to the social platform, for example, you can then curate the content that is relevant for that ID.
Of course.
Right? So if you have a child using it, it's not a case of, please tell us you're over 18. Like any 12-year-old is going to say, yeah, I'm over 18.
And exactly.
And yes. But having that data point and having that visual will allow these companies to curate the right information and content to them, which as a parent, you're going to feel kind of self-absorbed.
Yeah.
So these are kind of things that I think will make a huge impact
yeah.
socially, but it just takes one. So I don't know if it's, I can call it a trend, because I don't think it'll be mass adopted, but it will just take one or two startups, think, or incumbents to just really hit home with that.
I think cybersecurity is going to be massive. I think it already is. I just think there's going to be so much more growth in that area, because it's so important. The online can be so damaging, you know, it's really important. But my last point, I think TikTok is going to be the social media avalanche of advertising.
Oh, you think?
Yeah.
See, I think it's going to go back to, Facebook.
No, I think TikTok, because if you think about it, firstly, you have to look at the numbers, right? So the numbers of the users on TikTok is like 1 billion users, right? And the amount of like influencer, you know, advertisement of brands and stuff like that is insane. It's much more rapid than, or it's becoming much more rapid than like Instagram and Facebook. So I think TikTok is literally going to change the landscape for brands and creators. We keep getting encouraged to open up a TikTok account for this podcast. So maybe that was something you'll see in 2023.
Yeah, maybe that'll be kind of a trend for us. I think...
I think TikTok is going to really...
I think TikTok's got a huge kind of potential. It's already being used in that way, right? Where like people hardly any followers, but like they've got one post that reached like a million views, right? So the amount of reach you get on kind of TikTok is huge. But I think there's going to be a potential with Facebook Reels. I think I've kind of read a few things recently where it's going to be kind of underpriced, and it still has, believe it or not, like the attention associated with it. So many people still use Facebook, like more than you believe. So I still see that it's going to be a huge kind of potential to kind of market there as well. So if you can combine the two, TikTok and Facebook Reels, then maybe you're going to be onto a winner, and maybe you'll be
interesting. Yeah, we need to wrap it up there, Jay. Due to time, we would like to hear what your predictions are for the new year. If you're an engineer, if you're a designer, or someone in product, or if you're a social influencer, what do you think are going to be some of the trends for next year? And we'll love to hear it, and hopefully we can get some experts in those various spaces, and we'll have some deep dives,
sure,
especially around the crypto, blockchain, machine learning, AI space. That's something Jay and I have been focusing on quite recently. So yeah, thank you for listening as always, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Life in Tech podcast. Thank you, everyone.